You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027. This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 1027 in Johannesburg and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town.
Well, stocks gained modestly as we enter the last week of May after a survey showed German business morale rebounded this month, while investors have kept a close eye on escalating US-China tensions. The geopolitical issues around Hong Kong are center stage in a week where we kicked off with a bit of a thin session, thanks largely to holidays in the UK and the US, with those markets being closed. The MSCI gauge for world stocks gaining 0.4% today. That's near a 2.5-month high. We saw the pan-European Stock 600 up around 1%, but here on the JSE we lost ground. We lost around a third of a percent, and the Rand slipped a little. Devin Shute, head of investments at the Robert Group, and Rowan Williams, director at Nitrogen Fund Managers, have your view from the market. Rowan, difficult to pick out any themes on a day like today when we have the major US market closed. What stood out for you?
Yeah, so a very quiet day, I guess, a lot of the global trading world not working today. So really, I guess you could focus on some of the news flow, obviously the move to level 3 from 1 June, and also then some company results. And I guess what you are starting to see is the reality of the last 2 months starting to seep through in terms of either current performance, as you're pointing out, pre-COVID, or expected performance, which is looking increasingly more dire. So as the news sinks in and the reality sets in, so I think the market is starting to get more realistic and unfortunately more pessimistic, notwithstanding that we are starting to look like we're moving out of the hardest part of the lockdown. So there is still a lot of work to be done, and it's still a lot of information to flow and to be seen, but it's going to be a very lackluster period for a while to come.
And I see the market taking a big bite out of Tiger Brands today on the back of numbers that show just how difficult it is out there, and lots of issues around Tiger Brands management and forays into Nigeria and how much that has cost them. But not quite as defensive as you would have thought an FMCG food play would be during a time like this, Devin.
Yeah, so I mean, Tiger's been in a tough spot. It didn't come into the pandemic in the strongest position. And I think what they've been hit with at the moment is this weak consumer spend, which is, which has been prevalent across the sector, but also a disruption in supply chain. So, you couple that with, as you mentioned, impairments in some of the investments they've had, volumes are down, and probably the complexity of changing demand patterns, so they're having to stay on their toes as a retailer to see what us consumers want in these lockdown conditions has made it a really tough trading environment, and you're seeing it in that hit to earnings.
If we look at the top movers on the day here, and Rowan, you mentioned South Africa-specific themes for lack of any big international news moving our markets, and it shows. RCL up 8.3%. That's obviously on the back of positive moves towards chicken. Distell, people are going to be toasting the fact that we can drink again from the 1st of June. Certainly parents who are going to be sending their grade 7s and their grade 12s back to school, I'm sure, are going to throw a bit of a party. AECI up 4.2%, Altron up 4.2%. So a lot of that on local sort of news flow. Is there enough, Rowan, to support South African stocks in the reopening of the economy under level 3, or is there still too much uncertainty?
Well, I think what we've had is a period where a lot of the shares have actually recovered off their lows, and so to some extent they've discounted the short-term impact to earnings, and now you've got to look forward. So I guess the feeling is that a lot of sort of the short-term news flow is priced in, and the shares are fairly reasonably priced at these levels. So given the level of uncertainty really around, I guess, the longer-term impact to earnings and balance sheets and how the recovery is going to sort of take shape, I've seen forecasts where they're saying the South African economy will only get back to sort of 2019 levels by 2022. So those sort of forward-looking numbers of how long it will take to recover back to normal levels, I think, are going to weigh for some time. And so you're really going to have to pick through the individual sectors, the individual stocks to look for defensive numbers. As you say, companies that you thought may be defensive and initially didn't come down that much during the lockdown have shown to be struggling. So it's really going to be a question of sort of sifting through the ruins and looking for some gems.
Yeah, what stood out for me in the Tiger Brands numbers, and I've got an Old Oil coming up a little bit later, here's a company that trades on its brands. Oh, surprise, surprise. It's got some of the best known brands. Tiger Oats, there's Jungle Oats, I think it is, with the tiger on the packaging. There's All Gold Tomato Sauce. There's some of the biggest brands in the country now coming out and saying, well, they're going to do white label stuff. They're not just going to be trading off the branded goods that they've developed as a portfolio. That's almost an admission that the heritage brand model doesn't quite work, Rowan.
Yes, so I think what you're seeing is the current environment and the very tough, difficult trading environment is accelerating some trends that were already occurring prior to this lockdown. So consumers looking for value, differentiating less on brand and obviously being more price conscious. A branded consumer goods manufacturer sort of admitting that this is a long-term trend and they need to be part of this trend is, I guess, to some extent both admission of defeat but at the same time accepting reality. So it just shows you how quickly and how the pace of change is actually being accelerated in certain sectors, and that's what investors need to understand and take into account. And I guess business models that worked in the past may not necessarily be working and in the future, and that acceleration, it's accelerating that change. So you really have to change your models and be flexible with your thinking.
Pivot. There's one of those words that we've used so much during the COVID-19 crisis, along with the unprecedented and a few expletives that I can't repeat when you look at some of the regulations that have come out. Why? I'm still scratching my head. Have we continued the ban on the sale of tobacco products? And I don't say this as a smoker. I am an ex-smoker, but I do say this as someone who understands the Treasury needs money. And looking at where we are currently, it's just Devin gobsmacking that we eschewed the tax revenues that could come from lifting the ban on the sale of tobacco products.
Yeah, I mean, I think what the economics tells us is that the demand for products like tobacco and alcohol to a degree is fairly inelastic. So, you know, if you take out the regulated markets, all you're doing is providing impetus to the unregulated or the black markets. And then we've seen that in abundance. You're forcing normal kind of law-abiding citizens to now break laws that can be deemed quite trivial. So, yeah, I do think it's a misstep. There may be reasons beyond what we are aware of. But, yeah, we're at a time where we so desperately need those tax revenues, do you think it would have been an easy win? You know, put on a tax surcharge for the certain products by all means, but it needed to be brought forward and unfortunately hasn't.
And speaking of head scratchers, we see over in the UK, Dominic Cummings, is he going? I think is the big question mark at the moment. Boris Johnson's advisor is expected to make a rare statement, according to news that I've seen now on Sky. He's facing mounting pressure from inside the party for a head to roll after breaching the lockdown rules. And this, it just boils down to, if you look at things, Rowan, the compact between governments and citizens. It's about accountability and good governance. And citizens, while they've been willing all around the world to give up their liberties, it's what's good for the goose is good for the gander here. And it looks to me like Cummings' goose might be cooked.
Yeah, certainly. So this has been quite a challenge, I think, just comprehending the process of democracy and our governance and how, to some extent, they have control over us and entire societies. But certainly, I think it's within the voters' right to expect that all citizens, be they government officials, to comply with the regulations where we've all had to make significant sacrifices and where the rules are applied arbitrarily. I think
it obviously degrades the whole process. So I think it is important that it's uniformly, and I can't see how he can survive, particularly in a society like the UK.
Yeah, he's currently on Bloomberg Now, delivering his prepared statement. So we'll have to see what flashes on the screen. And all of this takes place against a backdrop where business, as we've said, is going to be reopening under level three next week. And Devin, if you look at what happened to Anglo Gold, the risks for business are still writ large. Anglo Gold's Mponeng mine found 164 workers testing positive for COVID, and the share down 4.3% today. The gold price is only slightly weaker. So I think analysts really need to take the knife to production numbers around the mining industry, because this is surely not the last mine that's going to experience an outbreak of this nature.
Yes, well, if you just think of the risk in an underground mine, and you know the proximity that the miners have to operate in, absolutely, you'd classify that as high risk. Open cast miners, very different situation. There, the risk is much easier to manage. So I think these deep miners, I mean, this mine is the deepest mine in South Africa, I believe, have got a real problem on their hand because of those the infectious level that will permeate through that workforce. I'm unsure what they have to do. I think the production will take a hit, as you alluded to. But I think what was encouraging out of the address by the president last night is there is more of a willingness now to allow companies and South Africans as individuals to manage the risk themselves. So, you know, AngloGold is well aware that 160 positive workers falls at their doorstep, and they have to address that. I mean, prior to this, there were 80 or so miners in the entire industry, I believe, that were tested positive. So they need to deal with that, and stopping production will be one of the means to do that. So I think you are going to see this kind of stop-start, unfortunately, which is terribly disruptive to business, and I think business is going to have to take a much more proactive stance.
Much more proactive, and it also means if you're looking at commodity plays, probably better to hide out in some of the open cast miners where you've got one individual driving a massive truck versus 50 miners squeezed into a lift in a conventional deep level mine. The risks are writ large. Now, another interesting story, Rowan, is Naspers is amongst the bidders for eBay's classified business, and this is a space that Naspers has loved for some time, and it's looking to further consolidate its foothold here. Some very interesting numbers in a note from Investec this morning showing that it's roughly pricing at a valuation range of between $8 and $10 billion. Would this be a good deal for Naspers at this time?
Well, so it's interesting. Obviously, it's a better time than it has been, and we have seen the classified business being reasonably defensive, still taking impact from the shutdown. And listings revenue down slightly, and then that impacting operating profit. So I guess more of a buyer's market, but it potentially could be a good investment. I think traditionally Naspers and Prosus has focused more on developing markets in terms of classified. So I think where it potentially has a better edge. And so this is more in much more developed markets, the US and Europe. So it would need to understand how they anticipate competing, but they will be buying large businesses that are very established, and I guess it all comes down to price ultimately. So if there is a lot of bidding and a large bidding, well, we have seen Prosus apply quite a bit of discipline with their Just Eat bid. So I think the market will take some confidence from that, but we need a lot more detail to really decide on whether they're spending investors' money wisely or not.
Absolutely. I think that's what investors will be looking at. Devin, the last thing they want is to get into a bidding war with Facebook, which has been killing it in this segment.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, highly competitive. Facebook has really entrenched themselves there, although I must say that the businesses that are now in process has extensive experience in the classified businesses. So, I think they're savvy operators, and they're not going to overpay for something, and willing to stand by if the bidding war does take place.
Well, a very interesting week ahead, following a rather quiet day in the markets. On the global earnings front, we've got Nissan framing their post-Gosen strategy. We've got a big week for U.S. retail with Dollar General, Dollar Tree, Costco, Ralph Lauren and Nordstrom all set to report. And another very busy week on the local earnings front as well. Devin Shoot, head of investments, I should say, at the Revere Group, and Rowan Williams, Director of Nitrogen Fund Managers, with your view from the market.